He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven. Would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted."
Joel 2:23-32 says, "O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain, as before. The threshing floor shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army that I sent against you. You shall eat and in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame." Am I reading the right stuff? Good. Good. "Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls."
Good morning. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the Jesus prayer. It's a prayer, an ancient prayer with its roots in the Eastern monastic tradition. And as we see this morning in our reading from Luke, it's a prayer that's based on the teachings of Jesus. The Jesus prayer is a powerful prayer. It's meant to be repeated over and over and over. A lot of monastics use it, pray it hundreds of times a day with the intention of praying without ceasing, like Paul writes in his letter to the Thessalonians. And to pray without ceasing, we have to get back to basics. We can't use anything too complicated. We need to have a fundamental encounter with the living God in our breath and in our spirit. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, sinner. In the Jesus prayer, we hit bedrock. It's an atomic prayer. It's the most basic unit. It's a prayer that, spiritually speaking, you can build a whole life out of. It's a prayer that can't be broken down any further. It can't be made any more simple, any more direct, or any more profound. by adding or subtracting. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is a prayer that Jesus gives us to pray. In our reading this morning, he teaches us what the acceptable prayer that God is looking for is, and how different it is from the status-seeking religion that is often normal. The upright religious person, the Pharisee in the story, thanks God for just how wonderful he is. He thanks God for not making him like other people. The Pharisee, and I suspect many of us, myself included, we think we've made it. Oh, sure, we have our faults, but we're good people. Thank God for our good lives. The tax collector in the story has a completely different attitude than this. What he says in prayer, and Jesus says he doesn't even look up to heaven to address God directly. He says, God, have mercy on me, sinner. Now, it should be clear, it's easy to miss this because we don't revile tax collectors in quite the same way that they did in ancient Judea. But being a tax collector was definitely a bad thing. This is a bad person. The tax collectors not only were collaborators with the occupying Romans, but they were generally expected to collect more than they were owed. The whole Roman system worked through sanctioned corruption. So you got paid by cheating and extorting the people that you were collecting the taxes from. Tax collectors got paid by shaking down their own people in order to fund the Roman army. So tax collectors have a lot to answer for. But in the case of this particular tax collector in Jesus' story, he knows that he's in the wrong. He's in the temple asking for God's mercy. Meanwhile, the nice guy, Mr. Nice Guy Pharisee, he's in the temple to go count his blessings and feel smug. And Jesus says it's the bad guy. He's actually a bad guy. But Jesus says it's the bad guy, the tax collector, who leaves the temple blessed by God. Not only because he's not because he's good, but because he knows he isn't, and he throws himself at God's mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The prophet Joel, in our reading this morning, gives a comforting message to Israel. The whole nation had been suffering dreadfully from a plague of locusts, and they were eating all the crops and causing mass starvation. But in our reading from chapter 2, Joel says that the suffering is about to come to an end. God's going to bless Israel again. And so Joel follows this up with an inspiring vision of the coming day of the Lord, a day in which God's Spirit will be poured out on everyone. This is the vision that Peter invokes on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes and fills the early church with life and power. So in the reading that we have for this morning, just the snippet, like Nikki mentioned, it's all good news. But I agree with Nikki, it's worth reading all of Joel. It's just a few pages. But because we're missing context if we don't know the whole story of Joel, which is that things are not looking good for Israel at the time Joel is preaching. And we misunderstand Joel's prophecy if we think that Israel's vindication, right, on the day of the Lord is automatic. When we look earlier in the same chapter in Joel, not even a different chapter, we see that it is not automatic. There's a reason good things are about to happen to Israel. There's a reason that Joel foresees the day of the Lord as being a good one for Israel. And that reason is repentance. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. In the Gospels, we read that the Pharisees, and when you think of the Pharisees, you can just think good Christians who go to church and pay their tithe and try to do nice stuff to people. the Pharisees, the people who followed the rules. They were constantly asking Jesus, why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why do your disciples not fast? Why do they not wash their hands in the ritual manner that they're supposed to? Why do they not observe the Sabbath? In short, why do you not do the things that we do to demonstrate that we're good people and not like those other people? Jesus' response to them was that he had come to save the sick, restore sight to the blind, and to rescue captives. The Pharisees thought that the great physician had come to give them a checkup and then congratulate them on a clean bill of health. But Jesus said that the real job of a doctor is to treat those who are sick. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I am sick. We are sick. We live in a sick society. We need God's mercy. For peace in Ukraine, for peace in our streets, for an economy that works for all of us, for a government that's just, and lives that are filled with compassion. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners. The good news is that there is healing available to us, that there's a day of the Lord that is coming that can be joy for us and not terror. There is a world of peace and tenderness and justice in which the lion lays down with the lamb and a little child leads us. There's a blessing waiting for us, but it's conditional. We have to see that we need it. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners. We are sinners, but we can be made whole. We are lost, but we can be found. We are unworthy to approach the throne, so to speak, but God is ready to lift us up and bless us as sons and daughters. This is Joel's message. Repent, and the disaster that's befalling you can be transformed into God's vision. This is Jesus' message. It's what he said when he began his ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Both Joel and Jesus point us towards salvation through repentance. They tell us that although the times are dark and we're in trouble, it doesn't have to be this way. We have a choice. We can begin to walk in a different path, one that leads to life. Walking in this path must begin with a genuine approach to God, aware of our own weakness and need of God's grace. Like the tax collector who humbled himself, who acknowledged his lostness and sin, we too can be put on the path to transformation when we cry out to God. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner.